That was Welcome to Hell, the title track from Joseph Chaubasson's 2023 album. I'd like to shift gears to the Northwest League at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. There were four games on May 18th, including a doubleheader. The Spokane Indians walked off the Vancouver Canadiens 7-6 with three runs in the bottom of seventh in Game 1, followed by a 17-1 shellacking of the visitors in Game 2, which was the makeup for April 28th at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. Elsewhere, the Hillsboro Hops exercised the host Tri-City Dust Devils 10-5 at Kisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington, and the Everett Aqua Sox thumped the visitors Eugene Emeralds 10-5 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. On May 19th, Vancouver stunned the host Spokane with five runs on the top of ninth as Dawson Brown hit a grand slam off Anderson Beetle to score the last four runs, which put the Canadiens up 9-7. But in the bottom of ninth, Kyle Carrolls launched a three-run home run off Grayson Thurman as the Indians upended the visitors 10-9. Elsewhere, Tri-City shaded Hillsboro 1-0, and Eugene bested Everett 7-5. May 21st saw two venue changes. The host Hillsboro blanked Vancouver 4-0 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. Eugene thumped the visitors Spokane 12-5 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. And Tri-City at Everett in Funko was rained out. On May 22nd, Hillsboro defeated Vancouver 5-3. Eugene spanked Spokane 8-3, and Everett jumped Tri-City 7-1. On May 23rd, Tri-City bested Everett 9-6 in Game 1, which went just 7 innings. Hillsboro blanked Vancouver 2-0. Spokane shellacked Eugene 9-3. And Tri-City doubled up Everett in Game 2, 4-2, which also went 7 innings. So Tri-City doubled up Everett 4-2 in Game 2 of their doubleheader, which also went 7 innings. Three games are on tap tonight. Vancouver continues in Hillsboro. Spokane renews in Eugene, with both games starting at 6:35, and Tri-City resumes in Everett at 7:05. All times are Pacific.
The Students of Caribbean and African Ancestry presents Catcha Vibes. Join Soca for a night of music, food, games, and pure vibes. The location is the Student Union Building, room 1430. The date is May 24th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. We hope to see you there.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, are first at 22-16. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate of the San Francisco Giants, are 23-18 for second. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, are 3rd at 21-20. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels, which play in Anaheim, are 4th at 20-21. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate of the Seattle Mariners, are 5th at 18-23. And the Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, are last at 16-22.
In collaboration with the Nova Scotia Cooperative Council and supported by Desjardins, Cooperatives and Mutuals Canada is honored to host the annual CMC Congress June 11 to 13th at the Halifax Convention Center in Nova Scotia. Under this year's theme of Navigating Change Together, join us for thought-provoking plenaries and participate in interactive workshops and breakout sessions. To learn more or register, please visit www.canada.coop now.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city for over the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke hasn't given up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36-2023, Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPP Chair. Surrey launched his second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Amendment Act 2023 is constitutional. 10 days later, on November 30th, Mike Sir, the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, in the first meeting as the SPB chair, said he approved a provisional budget for the Surrey Police Service in 2024, which he forwarded to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke and Council the same day. On January 25, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30, 2023, with the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time. $141.5 million were requested, which is 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million for 180 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, said during a press conference later on, said, if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke responded later on January 25th, as she claimed the suggestion that the transition would go forward without residents being forced to pay more is disingenuous and exposes lack of knowledge and due diligence by the BC NDP government, according to her press release on the Surrey City website. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is the chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the police complaint commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations, do systemic reviews, and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors as part of Bill 17. On April 9th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke proposed a budget of 7% property tax increase, which did not factor in the cost for the Surrey Police transition. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC Legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and a deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. Three events occurred on April 22nd. The SPS tweeted out their updated numbers to 428, where a link also provided the breakdown, 367 officers and 61 civilian employees. Also on April 22nd, the Surrey City Council approved a 6% property tax increase, 1% increase in the roads and tax levy, on top of higher utility fees, where Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against. Linda Annis of the Surrey First commented the tax increase is 10.5% overall, given a 3.5% bump in utilities a while back, according to Tom Sitarek of Surrey Now Leader. During the afternoon of April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the municipal police Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e. Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief Norm Lipinski, who mentioned 367 officers and 61 civilian employees within, added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the federal public ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. The Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke fired back on April 23rd in a press release as she was skeptical of Farnworth's target date of when the SPS will become Surrey's POJ on November 29, 2024, due to lack of details, and further pointed out that substantial plans have never been completed. On April 24th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke followed up with a bombshell in another press release, claiming the Deloitte report commissioned by the BC government, which Surrey requested last year but only got it on April 24th, revealed the SPS will cost Surrey taxpayers a whopping $750 million over the next 10 years, far greater than Surrey's estimates of $464 million. The $750 million cost for the SPS with 958 officers as POJ and with two-person vehicles will cost $45 million more than keeping the Surrey RCMP annually, according to Surrey's press release. Jas Joho of CKNW tweeted several pictures of the Deloitte report, which outlined three scenarios. A. Keeping the Surrey RCMP. B. The SPS with 734 officers. And C. The SPS with 900 officers with two vehicles. The SPS quickly responded on Twitter with its updated numbers of 367 sworn officers and 61 employees. A link on the tweet provided a detailed breakdown of 367 sworn officers. Brenda Locke had a press conference during the afternoon of April 24th, where she blasted the BC government for lack of transparency on the SPS. However, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, Locke's comparisons are not apples to apples, as she compared 734 RCMP officers with 900 SPS officers, as Deloitte used 940 SPS, as the province quoted the number as Surrey's authorized strength. 734 verses 7-34, SPS and Surrey RCMP was shown to be about a $34.5 million gap, with the SPS being higher. The Surrey RCMP's authorized strength is now 843 as it works together with the SPS during the transition. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, dismissed the Surrey-Maribyrnong Locks comparisons as disingenuous, as he claimed that one can't compare 734 versus 900 officers. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the five-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Sitarek of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said, the BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impact. Trevor Bingett, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following. While the minister, Mike Farnworth, is sensitive to the cost of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC. As he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe, the $75 million difference between the Surrey RCMP and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Bant by saying Farmer's power was to, quote, merely approve or not, Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction. Also on May 3rd, the SPS welcomed 12 new recruits who were trained in the Justice Institute of British Columbia. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the city's general manager, Cam Graywalls, said there would have been no tax increase without the SPS, where the budget with the Surrey RCMP is $221.5 million, with the difference of $33.5 million, a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval for Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where the Mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four other councillors against. Doug Elford of the Save Surrey Coalition, which pursued the SPS under the previous mayor, Doug McCallum, confirmed Surrey had a surplus, to which Linda Annis of Surrey first chimed in as $83 million. Graywell responded that surpluses are mainly used to pay down the city's infrastructure, according to Tom Sitarek of Surrey Now Leader, one day after the meeting on May 7th, when the SPS also announced their Class 173 recruits graduated from the JIBC and deployed onto Surrey streets with their field officers. On May 13th, the Surrey-Maribyrnong Law gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter, based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25th, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal board can object any part of its budget to the Municipal Police Board and Director of Police Services by May 15th. Law continued that Surrey will uphold its police budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than the SPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, the SPS and Surrey RCMP, of 785 officers at a property tax increase of 7%. Locke then went on to accuse the SPS of going 45% over what they were allowed to spend. Surrey can't afford two separate police budgets, even with the NDP having no plan for the transition. On May 15th, Rob Shaw of Orca reported letters between Surrey and BC government on Twitter, with the first letter dated on April 3rd, that the Surrey City Council will accept $250 million from the BC government for the SPS, provided the BC government agreed to the city's terms by April 5th, which included the province provide the city with a written confirmation that the federal government will make needed legislative changes to allow the RCMP to report to a municipal police force by December 31st, 2024. The MPF workers stay in Surrey while reporting to a municipal police service, and the province provide to the city a written confirmation that any monies for the transition as expenses are incurred, or Surrey will be forced to raise taxes. However, the province could not agree to Surrey's terms by April 5th, and Surrey responded with a rejection letter on April 9th, where the mayor Locke cited the MPF objecting to be under the SPS command, Bill 17 stripping the mayor the chair position in their municipality police board, which was brought into the BC legislature on April 4th. No response in the completion date for the Surrey police transition, and no indication that the province will provide the city a written confirmation that the federal government will make legislative changes by December 31st, 2024. 2 weeks after Surrey's rejection letter on April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, said the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29th, 2024, where BCRCMP officers will help. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with the SPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with the SPS, and Surrey can fund the SPS as the Justice Liu estimated the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. While Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, applauded the decision, where he also added $150 million will be used to fund the transition, along with the SPS Chief Lorne Lipinski, as he mentioned that the Surrey's JR impacted 427 employees and their families, according to multiple sources. The Surrey mayor, Brenda Locke, had a press conference yesterday afternoon where she said she will have to consult with her counsel on a possible appeal, wearing a red jacket, similar to what the RCMP officers wear, trashed the BCNDP MLAs and non-Surrey Connect counselors as the higher policing costs for a municipal police force, quote, more than willing to find acceptable for our residents, end quote, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun.
We had food growing up and we were used to being able to eat, but then all of a sudden we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you and... They're here to help you.
The food bank is for anyone who needs one. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.
Thank you for listening to episode 19 of the Steve Chung Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM. Just a minute, please. There is an update for SFU track and field, where both teams are competing in the NCAA Division II Outdoor Track and Field Championships at Francis G. Walsh Stadium in Emporia, Kansas. Mariella LeClaire charged in at 23.26 in the women's 200 first round, which was just completed. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
Have you ever felt so sad that you don't know what's making you sad? Have you ever felt so alone because no one understands? They ask you, how are you? And you say, I'm tired. Because it'll be too much to explain that you're sad. No one understands. Even writing it down. nothing seems to help. The dark days are just dark. We understand. Talk to me or any one of us at the Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention Center. Just dial 1-833-456-4566 or visit crisisservicescanada.ca.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, online at cjsf.ca, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC,
home of McFog the dog.